Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I grew up not too far from here in New Jersey.
As a teenager, Chelsea Stagg knew what she liked.
And according to my journal from when I was 14 years old, I only seemed to really like two things, lacrosse and this girl, Liz.
In fact, by the time she was a teenager, Chelsea was really clear about who she was attracted to.
Monday, January 17th, 2005. I was reading these online journals of these bisexual girls. Ew, I know, don't even ask how I got there, but reading them inspired me to write one of my own. I'm gonna write it in an actual journal because if anyone did read this, they would know my deepest, darkest secret. I kind of, well, not kind of, but really, really am into girls. I know, it surprised me too, but really.
But the one thing Chelsea wasn't so clear on, where in her hometown could she find a girl to return her affection?
I mean, so what? I like girls. Wow, that is weird to say, but I mean, so what? Now I admitted it. But now I just want to get some action. I really wish I lived in an area that had more girl-on-girl action.
Unsure where to find that, Chelsea fixated on girls like Liz, a strategy which would soon pose bigger questions.
Of course there's girls I like. Wait, love. But I'm like 1,000,000% positive that they're straight, and I mean, it's ridiculous to pursue something that's not gonna happen, right?
From PRX and Radiotopia, I'm Neil, and this is Mortified. Today on the show, a tribute to anyone who's ever wanted to scream, "Help! I'm in love with my straight friend!" Tales of torturous, unrequited love that happen when girlfriends become so close they could practically kiss. Once again, here's Chelsea.
Tuesday, January 18th, 2005. Well, I'll tell you about this one girl I'm completely in love with. Her name is Liz, and last year we had cycle and gym together. So here we are getting along great, and then all of a sudden, all I'm thinking about is seeing her. On the weekends, I'm hoping to run into her, and in school, I can barely wait to see her between our classes. And I couldn't wait to see her in lacrosse. I would just get all weird inside, and when I saw her in the hallway, our eyes would just lock, and I swear everything was good right then. I saw Liz three times today, but only talked to her once. It really is a good day when I see her and talk with her, so hopefully tomorrow that will happen more. I'm not sure why I do this myself, because I already know she isn't like that. I guess the fighter deep in me won't let go that easily. January 19th, 2005. I'm really happy because my teacher, who is a total biatch, is getting an operation. So she'll be out for 2 months. And our substitute is this young teacher, Miss Moyer, and she's really nice and just much more fun. So that'll be good, not having Miss or Mrs. Burke. Never really knew which it was. I really want lacrosse season to come, half because I love it and half because I'll see Liz more. So yeah, nothing to talk about. Peace. January 30th, 2005. So this weekend I did basically nothing, except for Saturday I had a lacrosse game that was fun. I played pretty good, if I do say so myself. Liz was going skiing, well, actually snowboarding. At one point, I was also going to go out with some friends, but it didn't end up happening. I think that's a sign that we're not supposed to be together, which really sucks because I can't get her out of my head. I really need to be with someone, preferably Liz. I wish I knew more bi people, like girls, like hot ones. That would be nice. But right now, I'm outie. Peace and love, Chelsea. February 10th, 2005. Okay, so here's what's going on. On Monday, Liz IMs me. So she's like, I have a question. And I say, okay, shoot. Meanwhile, all I'm thinking is she finally gonna ask why I make so many lesbianish comments. And she's like, would you be my Valentine? And I said, I thought you would never ask. What else could I have said? Because I was so effing happy. But I knew that it was just a joke. Well, kind of, meaning she doesn't have sexual feelings for me. March 10th, 2005. I asked Liz what she would do if she only had an hour to live. So she says that she would find a boyfriend and then, well, you know. And then she's like, what would you do? And I told her that I would find the person I truly love and tell them my feelings. If they felt the same way, great, we'd do it. But if not, find a hot person to be with. Of course, then she's like, who is the person that you would confess your feelings to? So basically, who is your big crush? Of course, I can't tell her it's her, a girl. Last time she asked me that question, I had to pretend to have a crush on a boy, and I seriously didn't want to lead her to think I was like that. That's a lie. So this time, I'm just like, I can't tell you. And then she's like, why not? Then I said, because it's weird and you'll look at me differently. So then she goes on to guess a bunch of people, meaning boys, but then I had to go somewhere, so the convo ended. So all that happened a week ago, and last night we were talking online about a girl who died masturbating. I know it was really weird, but funny at the time. So then I said something about a penis, and she's like, speaking of penises, you never told me who you liked. So she kept on asking, and I told her that it was weird and how she would think of me differently, and she's like, no, I won't, and all that stuff. And she asked me to give her a hint. So I told her I know them pretty well, and she knows them pretty well. March 25th, 2005. So I've decided to just give in to what I really want, meaning Liz. So usually I have daydreams where I'm making Liz jealous with other girls. But really, this is my ultimate fantasy. We were playing a lacrosse game at our school when the sky turned pitch black. It started raining immediately. Suddenly, we hear a large boom. It's thundering now. So everyone gets off the field to stand on the sidelines, completely soaked. I spot Liz sitting on the bench and head towards her. She's trembling because she is so cold. I get my sweatshirt out of my bag and put it on her. She smiles at me and motions for me to come next to her. Come closer, she says. I give her a look and she says to keep warmer. Our body heat will keep us both warm. So I slide towards her. Our arms are touching in our legs. I'm not joking, Liz says seductively. I move closer to her and put my arms around her back. Our lips meet and she nibbles on my lip. I pull her up and pin her to the wall and start kissing her neck. She lets out a moan. She puts her hands under my shirt and starts going up. She unhooks my bra, then takes off my shirt. I do the same for her. She pins me to the wall now and starts kissing all around me. We go to the floor where some sweatshirts are. The kisses are hard but soft, and her tongue searches mine like a true explorer. She stops for a moment, and we look at each other. I've been wanting this for so long, she says. Me too, I say, and start kissing her neck. Yeah, I know, pretty far-fetched, seeing as Liz is 100% straight, and me thinking I'm 50% straight, because there are still those guys that get me. I was thinking that a reason that I like these girls so much is because they pay attention to me. I mean, really pay attention. That's all I'm really looking for. I read somewhere that for a Gemini, that's me, that they needed a person to first seduce their mind before their body could be seduced. That is so true in my case. April 9th, 2005. Wow, so that last thing I wrote was pretty deep, if I do say so myself. So guess what I came to talk about today? Liz. I know, big surprise. I got invited to Liz's birthday sleepover party that was last night, and I finally got to massage Liz's back. I was sitting on top of her, and I was doing that for a while, and her mom came in the room, at which point I just kind of got off her back, and then I was sitting on the couch. And then Liz handed me a pillow and was like, Chelsea, let's sit over here, meaning on the couch and the part that reclined. But then, since that was going to be our sleeping position and everyone was finding a spot, Jackie was like, how about each of you sleep on a side of me and I'll sleep in the middle? Basically, my point is I could have slept next to Liz and we could have ended up cuddled up together, but we didn't, and that's why I'm sad. April 24th, 2005. All right, life is okay right now, but one huge thing happened. I told Liz I liked girls and boys. She IM'd me again and asked who I liked. I'd tell her that I like someone with 7 letters in their name. Meaning Caitlin. And that's not really a lie, because I used to have a huge crush on Caitlin. So finally, she guesses Caitlin, and I'm like, oh gosh, look at that, it matches up. And then she's like, do you really like girls? And I said, I think so. We just talked for a long time, and she really is a good friend. I knew she would understand. I didn't know that. May 1st, 2005. Okay, so I went to Quebec and got back last night. It was an awesome trip because I was with Liz, so yeah, that was just awesome. So we were on the bus on the way there, and she was complaining about Chris, her boyfriend, and how annoying he was. So she was saying all this stuff, and then she's like, he just doesn't get what me and you have. I couldn't believe she said that. I mean, of course I noticed how close we got on the trip. It was so great. Every time we would just look into each other's eyes and we would get so close, it was almost like we were going to kiss. And my heart would just do a little flippy thing, and I would just get so freaking horny. And then she said, what would you do if I kissed you? I told her that I would kiss her back. Later on, we were laying in bed when everyone had gone to sleep except the two of us. And she looks at me and she says again, "What would you do if I kissed you?" The idiot that I am, I said, "I don't know." So there was a lot of that going on. And I swear I was so close to kissing her. I wish I did, but I didn't. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it won't. Who knows what the future holds. So I never did kiss Liz, but the whole thing made me realize that I really liked girls and it felt really good to like them. Luckily, I had a very supportive family and friends when I came out. And now I am engaged to a woman who's here. And when she says, "What would you do if I kissed you?" I kiss her back.
That was Chelsea Stagg at a Mortified event in Brooklyn.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
Hi, I'm Valerie. So I grew up in Roseville, California. Woo! Oh, hey. For those of you who don't know, it's a suburb of Sacramento. And my family was very suburban and nice and repressed. So we weren't allowed to swear or talk about sex or politics or religion. And by the time I was 14, I was doing all of that, just not with them. I had this best friend, Echo, who I was passionately close with. And she knew all of my secrets except one. We'll see if you can guess what that is. Dear journal, you might have noticed I mentioned my friend Echo, or maybe you didn't. She is my best friend. She is a dreamer, but she knows how to get what she wants. Not one to live for God. She's her own master. As for looks, I don't remember her heritage, Austrian or something. She has those cute brown Bambi eyes. She'll use them too. She's prettier than anyone else I know. Dear journal, I went to Echo's house today. We went out to mail some packages and listen to her MP3 player in the car. When we got back, we decided to stay in the car and listen to the last few minutes of a song we were playing. Well, her stepmom went in the house and turned off the garage light. Then the car light went out, but we just kept sitting there in the car in the pitch black garage. Well, the song finally ended, and we began to listen to the next one while we got to talking. So from there, 2 minutes became 10, which became 20, which became 2 hours. She is the only person I can do that with. Dear journal, I am in the after effects of my emotional slump a few days ago. Since I am numb, I have arrived back at one core truth. I love the 80s. I know everyone thinks they're dorky and stupid, but 80s music is the only music that can make me really smile. If you're a real musicaholic, you know that it all started in the 80s. Dear journal, today my mom decided we needed to go practice tennis. I didn't want to go, but she made me, and I dragged Echo along too. Yes, we really do everything together. I was a disaster. I kept spacing out and missed the ball quite a few times. But Echo has the build of a model. So her swings looked like pictures out of a Sports Illustrated or something. Dear journal, I looked Twilight up because my friend Sarah has been raving about it. No way am I reading that. Cheesy romance that gives fangirls the wrong idea about men. Guess what? Edward Cullen does not exist. He just doesn't. Worst part is, Sarah thinks he does. Sorry to sound so cynical, but Prince Charming just makes me gag. Dear journal, once again, I couldn't sleep, but tonight I confess to Echo that I don't like guys. I mean, they just aren't appealing. So, the next reasonable step would be for me to like girls, but I don't. Fact is, I hate girls. They are so dramatic and high maintenance and self-absorbed. So what happens when you don't like one or the other or both? You are asexual. I looked it up. It literally means I'm never horny and I don't care. Ha, solves everything. I mean, honestly, how can you expect someone to decide on a sexuality if they've never even had a crush before? Not that I'm incapable of love. I just don't want some goddamn ball and chain is all. Dear journal, after school, Echo came over for movie night. We ate chocolate and popcorn and watched Labyrinth. David Bowie stars in it. He's the villain. He wears tights. They don't provide much coverage. Gross! It took me hours to recover. Anyway, after the movie, me and Echo went outside. Somehow, we ended up lying in my backyard, staring at the stars and contemplating life. I love moments like that. We even saw a shooting star. We were out there for 2 or 3 hours, and then we ate some pudding and went to bed. So that summer, my family ended up moving to Cedar Falls, Iowa. And you know, I didn't want to go, but I was trying to be optimistic about my new life. But it was still really hard. Dear journal, today began with a feeling of lightness. I took a walk. and found myself on one of those dirt paths. I followed it down and found my field, the field of flowers I always wanted. It was so pretty. Then I walked into the church across the street. It was one of those big, modern, self-important churches, you know? There was nobody there, but all the doors were open. At the counter, there was this thing called a prayer box. I opened it and read the same, "My son is abandoning the church" sob story a couple times. Then I grabbed one of the slips of paper and wrote down a prayer request, except it was for me. I looked at what I wrote and I tore it up and threw it away. I know that's melodramatic, but a bunch of Jesus freaks aren't going to fix me. It just won't happen. But I felt good after that. I don't know why. I just did. Okay, so I had been in Iowa a few months when I got the following message from Echo. She had a secret to tell me about myself. So this is what Echo wrote. "I can tell you anything, right? You promise that you won't hate me forever. I read the messages between you and Nate." So Nate was a friend of mine who was weird in a cool way. He was in a rollerblading gang. He had become my confidant for the things I couldn't tell Echo, such as, spoiler alert, my massive crush on her. So he would try to give me advice and like said that maybe I should try to kiss her and like that never happened. But Echo, who knew all of my passwords, had been logging on and reading these messages for months and never told me until this night. So this is Echo again. "I saw my picture in the message and I was curious, so I hacked your account and yeah. Please, don't be mad at yourself. Really, please. And I'm not freaked out. I mean, think about it. I've known for a really long time. If I were freaked out or if I hated you, or any of that, don't you think I would have been gone by now? Of course, I loved the extra attention, to be honest, and the fact that someone cared that much was wonderful. And just so you know, I don't think it's disrespectful for someone to like someone who's straight. I mean, it's not like you can stop your feelings. One thing though, if you do find someone, don't ever make me meet her, because, like, one, I'll be insanely jealous. And two, she'll probably be just like me, which would be disasterific. And geez, Valerie, damn you for not being a hot emo guy. I was freaked out, but ultimately relieved. When Echo acknowledged my truth, it made it easier for me to do the same. And by the time I left for college, I was fully out to all of my friends and family. And that all started with Echo. Thank you.
That was Valerie Richard at a Mortified event in Portland, Oregon. And this concludes our look at falling in love with your straight friend, where we learned coming up with a great pickup line is hard. But when doing so, a good litmus test might be to ask yourself, if I say this out loud, Will I sound like a total serial killer?
I asked Liz what she would do if she only had an hour to live.
Everything shared on today's show was true. No embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. If you'd like to support Mortified, we have plenty of ways for you to do that. First, tell your friends on social about an episode of this podcast you loved. And don't forget to tag @MortifiedShow on Insta or Facebook. Ooh, I said Insta. Second, visit GetMortified.com to pick up your very own Mortified t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Third, if you've got kids ages 9 to 13, listen to our other podcast, Ooh, You're in Trouble. Each episode features true stories of what happens when kids break the rules, all designed to help your kids make smart decisions in life, but also, it's kind of fun to listen to when you're an adult as well. Finally, purchase our game, I Can't Believe I Did That, the conversation starter that dares you and your friends to share memories of growing up. It's like hosting your very own Mortified show right in your living room, now available via Amazon or getmortified.com/game. And if you're craving more mortification, today's episode pairs really well with episode 116, The Only Living Lesbian on Long Island, and episode 96, My Two Moms. Find the full list at getmortified.com/podcast. And for companies wishing to support our podcast, you can hit us up at sponsor@radiotopia.fm. This series is a team effort, and our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and me, Neil Katcher. Some of the stories featured here were produced for the stage by Egan Danhey and Alicia Stokes, who are just two of the many amazing producers whose work make the stage show possible. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.